be here at 6 o'clock. And this just really gets us ready for what we had here. Last Sunday night was tremendous. So don't miss tonight's service. God will bless you for being here. Get your family in church. Keep your family in church. Make sure all the kids are in church. Make sure mom and daddy's in church. Make sure everybody's in church. Every time you can get to the house of God, and He'll bless you for it. Now, we're going to look this morning at one of the most famous sermons of all time. This is the message preached on the day of Pentecost by the Apostle Peter. After he had denied the Lord, God restored him, worked in his life, he preached this great sermon in which 3,000 people were saved. I'm going to look at a word or a few words and pull it out of that sermon this morning. I've never preached on this but one time in my ministry in all these years, and that was at camp. I brought up this verse in camp. So this is the first time I've ever used it in church in all these years of preaching. So I hope that you'll stay with me and look with me. It's always been a verse that got my attention. We'll put it that way. And look here what he said. He's preaching now. Oh, Peter, he's preaching in verse 31. In verse 32, he's preaching Jesus. 33, 34, 35, 36, 37. It said when they heard it, they were pricked in their heart. They were convicted. And then Peter told them what to do in verse 38. Repent and be baptized, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he said, the promise is to you and to your children and all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, verse 40. This is what I want to use this morning. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That's the verse that got a hold of my heart. Peter told them people, he said, you better save yourselves from this untoward generation. I want to preach on that subject this morning. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now, to introduce the message this morning, some of you already may be a little bit confused. Because you hear it said every Sunday at church, you can't save yourself. Nobody can say, you can't save, we all say that. People say that, preachers say that forever. And it confuses some people. And I want to help you a little bit here in your Bible study. For the folks that don't, the casual reader of the Bible might be confused at that term, save yourself. Some say, well, I didn't know nobody, you can't save yourself. Why did he tell people to save themselves? And the answer is this. Listen to me. The word saved in the Bible does not always mean saved from hell. No. It's very obvious it don't. And I'll show you that. Many times in the Bible, and I've had people, when I say that, people say, well, how do you know what it's talking about? The context determines what it's referring to. So in this scripture, as in several others, the word, when he says save yourself, when you say somebody got saved, we're normally talking about saved from hell, going to heaven when they die. Here, the Apostle Peter said, save yourself from this untoward generation. Now, as I said, the word saved don't always mean saved from hell. There was a man one time named Peter, same fella here, and he's going down in the water, and he's drowning, and you know what he said? He said, Lord, save me. Now, Peter was already saved from hell when he said that. You know what he was saying? What, saved from what? Drowning. So the word saved in that scripture means, Lord, save me from drowning. There's other scriptures in the Bible, in 1 Timothy 2:15, where it said a woman will be saved in childbearing if she continues in the faith. And I've heard people say, well, does that mean a woman has to have a baby before she can be saved? It said she'll be saved in childbearing, not saved from hell. So in this scripture, he's not saying save yourself from hell. He's saying save yourself from that generation you're living in. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. You can't save yourself from hell. The Lord has to do that. But you got to save yourself from the generation that you and I are living in. Save yourself from this untoward generation. Now, I want to talk about that just a little bit. What does the word untoward mean? What does the word untoward? He said you're living in an untoward generation. That's an unusual word. You don't hear that word used much anymore. What does that word mean? It means this: contrary to what is desired. It means unfavorable. It means difficult to manage. That's what the word untoward, difficult to manage. Like it said, the babysitter had a rough day with that untoward child. Hard to manage. Me and you would say, little brat wouldn't behave. But that's what untoward means. It means difficult to manage. It means perverse. It means stubborn. It means stubbornly going the opposite way from what it's supposed to be. According to the Bible, you and I this morning, we find ourselves living in an untoward generation. Would anybody in here agree with me that we are living in an untoward generation? Great. Day in the morning. I've been preaching since I was 19 years old, and I've never believed that we're seeing the things that we're seeing right now in this generation. I'm telling every young person here this morning, you better listen to me. I'm telling every mama and every dad and every visitor here, you better listen to me this morning. Some of you better quit playing around. You better quit playing games with your soul. You better learn what that verse means. Where it said, save yourself from this untoward generation. Who would have ever believed that they'd have put the rainbow colors on our White House of our nation and displayed it for the world like we are proud that we are now publicly and legally endorsing same-sex marriage. Who would have ever believed that we are having debates in this country about Planned Parenthood not only just killing the babies, that's old news, but selling baby body parts in order to make a profit. Yes, sir, that's going on. I mean, who would have believed that? Listen, this is supposed to be a civilized country. This is America. Who would have believed that you could have sold baby parts in order to make a profit? You think this ain't an untoward generation? Well, you need to open up your eyes and look around. Who would have believed that we'd have seen ISIS systematically taking machetes and sawing the kids' heads off, sawing them off while they scream, holding them down and sawing their necks, breaking their bones, going through that neck bone until their head falls off of their body, and putting them on sticks to display them? Who would have ever believed that if you said something about these things, that you are oddball or the bad guy? Who would have ever believed that our own government refuses to speak evil of terrorists in an evil way and takes a side many times against the nation of Israel? Who would have believed that we'd have seen this thing go down? Listen, I last night we stopped. I tried to go as far as I could go, and Kelly went to sleep, and I was driving, and I said, I'm going to stop here in a little bit and go to the bathroom. While she was asleep, I said, I'm just going to push it, buddy. And I pushed it, I'm telling you. And I was coming down through Virginia, and I was coming into North Carolina. You know, when you get to on Interstate 40, down yonder on the other side of Durham, and you see them signs there, and I thought, we're going to have to stop sooner or later. We're going to have to stop. And finally, we was in Greensboro, and I pulled off an exit, and went down in there, and there was these convenience stores and restaurants and old crazy, wild-looking places. I mean, it was 3, I think it was 20 minutes after 3, I think. And or somewhere along in there, maybe 20 minutes till around 3 o'clock in the morning. We pulled in this great big old Sheetz rest, like a, you know, it's a convenience store, gas station, everything, all mixed up together. And I'm telling you, that thing had 30 places for car, and every one of them was full of them. You couldn't even get in there. I said, what are all these people doing out at, I think it's 3:20 in the morning? And I said, what's these people doing out here? And she said, the clubs stay open till 3. I said, oh, they do, huh? She said, I guess they've been to the club. And I said, where are they going now? I said, and I'm telling you, I got out of that car, I got out of the car last night to put some gas in, and you could feel the devil. I mean, there was music playing. There was people hollering. There's some guy over here hollering at everybody that walked by. And a girl come out, and she was going to this Lincoln Navigator. And there's this old guy there, I guess he's drunk, and he is saying, "Navigator! Navigator!" And I thought, that fool, he's drunk in the middle of the night. I thought, I'd sure hate. And listen, when she got out of the car, I walked her in the car. I said, to the restroom. And when she got out, I walked her back to the car. And I said, "Boy, just keep your eyes straight. It's scary. It was scary. It was like you was in a jungle or something. I mean, there was screaming and hollering and dancing and music and everywhere." I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, no, I did not have a gun. No, I did not have an eye. I had that right there, buddy. I was ready. I'm not knocking over them, but I got rid of them. And you know what? It was awful. It was awful. And I got to thinking about, that's just Greensboro. And I told her when we got back in the car, I said, think about Los Angeles. Think about New York. Think about up there in Missouri and St. Louis and all those places. Brother, we're living in a bad generation. We're living in a bad time, people. We're living in a bad time. These demonic spirits everywhere. Where you look, I mean, the devil's taking over. It seems like everywhere. And the old book said, save yourselves from this untoward generation that you and I live in. Well, let me say, you say, how am I going to do it this morning, preacher? Three things, right quick. We'll go. We'll go get something to eat. I'm tired than y'all are. And I'm telling you this morning, I want to say, first of all, you know how we're going to save ourselves from an untoward generation. How are we going to save ourselves? You say, Brother Danny, the world's going to hell. What are we going to do? I said, number one. Here's what you got to do. Everybody listen to me this morning. Number one, the first thing you got to do is you better nail down the fact of your salvation. You need to be saved and know you're saved. My pastor taught us, he said the two greatest things in life is to, number one, be saved and know it. He said, number two, be in the will of God and know it. I'd rather my girls this morning be saved in the will of God than have everything that this world got to offer, because it's all going to burn up one of these days and it's all going to be gone. And brother, I tell you, the best thing you can do, nail it down this morning. If you don't know you're saved, nail it down this morning and save yourself from this untoward generation. I want to say three things about your salvation. You ought to know when it happened. You ought to know where it happened. And you ought to know how it happened. I know when it happened. I was 18 years old and up there at Nebo Baptist Church. I know when it happened. I laid in the floor that Wednesday night on my face like that, bawling like a baby. I can take you to the spot where it happened, where I got saved, right up there at Nebo Baby's church. Now, don't feel bad. There's some of you that got saved when you was real little, and you don't remember the exact spot at Bible school. I'm not trying to make you feel weird or nothing. Just as long as you know it happened. It's important when it happened and where it happened, but it's most important that it did happen and how it happened. I know when it happened, April 19th. I know where it happened, Nebo Baptist Church, and I know how it happened. I called on the Lord. He heard my cry. He wrote my name in the book of life. Jesus saved my soul. I put my faith and trust in Him. And brother, I got it nailed down. So no matter what happens, I know where I'm going when I leave here. And by the way, we don't know what might happen before this is all over. Who would have believed? You better get your fighting gear on. I don't mean physically. You might need to do that too. But you better get your armor on. You better get your shield of faith. You better get your sword of the Spirit. You better pray without ceasing. Brother, the next 10 years, if Jesus don't come, it's going to separate the men from the boys, spiritually speaking. It's going to get the fence is getting so wide you can't straddle it no more. I mean, it's either one side or the other. You're going to be on the Lord's side or on the devil's side. I'm telling you this morning, nail it down that you're saved. If you've got a doubt in your mind this morning, nail it down. down. Nail it down. Now, I know everybody doubts. I'm not trying to make you doubt. If you doubt once in a while and believe it all the rest of the time, you're all right. If you doubt 99% of the time and believe it once in a while, you might be in trouble. I'm going to tell you this morning, whatever you've got to do, nail it down. Save yourself by nailing it down. You say, how do you nail it down, preacher? Here's what I do. I say, Lord, I ain't nothing I can do to save myself. You don't even want me to. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You know how I know I'm saved this morning? Because I'm not dependent on my performance or how good I am. Or how good I am. Lord, if I did that, I would be saved about one-tenth of the time. I'm dependent on what He did for me on the cross and paid my sin debt. Nail it down this morning. Amen. They said these two soldiers after World War II was on a train and they was traveling home, coming home where they'd been in the war. And there's both on that train, two soldiers, same army, same war. One of them was all happy and excited. He was a great soldier. He was on his way. He couldn't wait to see his mom and dad. He couldn't wait to see his brothers and sisters. He wanted to get home and have a big dinner on the table. He wanted to have a big time. He looked forward to it. How much longer is it? When are we going to be there? I can't wait. And the other soldier was sitting there. He had went AWOL and he's sitting there in handcuffs. And he was going to be tried as a traitor. He was going home to face the judgment of a judge and a courtroom. And he wasn't in no hurry at all. He was sitting there thinking, I dread this, I dread this, I dread that. Ladies and gentlemen, that represents the two types of people, maybe that are in this room and here this morning. Some of you are saved on your way to heaven, and you say, glory to God, bring it on, Jesus. Come on, sooner the better. Let's go. And then others of you are sitting here saying, no, I dread it, I dread it. I dread it, I dread it, I dread it. You know what you need to do? Nail it down. Get it right. Get it right. Get it right. Get it right. You're going to hear Brother Danny screaming forever and ever and ever. Get it right. 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 Save yourself from this untoward generation. Listen, this generation. Look, I had friends too. You say, well, I just don't want to leave my friends. Well, they're so cool. If I get saved, I'll just have to leave them. Listen, I have friends too. There comes a point where you ain't going to drown with them, are you? If we're all out here in the lake and everybody's going down, it's every man for himself. You better save yourself. I'm not going to say, well, I don't want to leave my friends and go down with them. Some of my friends are already gone. Some of the people I went to school with are dead and in hell this morning if they didn't get saved. I'm glad I heard it when I was 18 and I said, I'll nail it down. Save myself from this generation. Number two, you know how you save yourself from this generation? By refusing to participate in it. Refusing to participate in it. I'm not talking about being a religious smart aleck or a holier than thou or a Pharisee. But brother, we are not supposed to participate in this world's line of thinking, line of acting, line of talking. Come on, help me now. We're not supposed to act like they act. We're not supposed to listen to the same music they listen to. We're not supposed to go to the same places they go to. Listen, brother, we ought to stand. I know that's why they hate us, but we ought to say, I will not. You know what old Daniel said one day? He said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, we'll not defile ourselves with the king's meat. They said, we ain't no better than you are, but we will not eat that stuff. We're not going to let you cram that doctrine of evolution down our throat. We're not going to teach our kids they come from monkeys. I mean, we're going to teach them God made us. We'll march our kids to the house of God on Sunday and go to Sunday school and live right and sing in the choir and read the Bible. We'll not participate with this world. Say amen right there. We'll not participate. Not participate in their doctrine. Their doctrine is, everything's cool. If you want to be religious, it's all right. But if you don't, that's all right too. That's the wrong doctrine. We don't even believe like they do. We don't even dress like they dress. I don't say a lot about that. But listen, girls, I mean, you don't dress like some old skank just so you can get a boyfriend. You don't go out there and show all your body part out there in public so you can get a boy. I know. You took 14, what's them things? Steroids. And you got a little knot popped up there, and you want to show. I know you're so proud of that little knot and them three hairs right there. You're so proud of that. But listen, hey, that girl said. She said, "But my boyfriend's got that six pack." And the preacher said, "Yeah, you after you marry him, he'll have the whole case in a few years." Hey, man. She said, "He's got them pearly whites." He said, "Yeah, I know. In a few years, he'll be taking them out and putting them in a cup every night." Listen, brother, we don't participate. I mean, listen, we don't go to the clubs. Say amen. There's a Christian in here tonight, and you've been going to nightclubs and drinking and dancing. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Whose side are you on, for heaven's sake? Hey, save yourself from this untoward generation. Would you want to be in a nightclub where there's drinking and dancing and people cussing God when Jesus comes back? No, you would not. No, of course you would not. Amen. Save yourself from their desires. We will not bow down to their image. We will not watch their dirty movies. We will not listen to their dirty music. By God's grace. Listen, there's enough sin out there you can get into without even trying to look for it. I mean, it's every store you go in, every magazine rack, everything. But save yourself from this untoward generation. You say, "I ain't never heard nobody preach like that." That's why the Lord brought you here this morning. I load your wagon while you're here this morning, buddy. I'm telling you, you need to make up your mind. You know what Peter said? Save yourself from this generation. It's going to hell. Save yourself. Amen. That's right, brother. Listen, sin. By the way, sin never comes by itself. You don't commit one sin and just stop. If you keep committing that sin, you're going to commit another sin. Sin is progressive. That means it keeps taking you down. That means if you smoke a little weed, first thing you know, you'll be doing something else. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. And if you don't smoke weed and you hang around people that do, you will before too long. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. And I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, listen, you go down that road, whoever you hang around, that's who you're going to be with. You say, "But what about my friends?" Save yourself from this untoward generation. You say, "Well, they might get mad at it." Look, please, I don't want to hear nobody else come to me and say, "But we can't listen to that music, and we can't watch him." Listen, you little brat. All the Lord did for you was die for you. He let them beat nails in his hands and put a crown of thorns on his head. You're not going to hell. I mean, it could be a lot worse. You ought to thank God that all He wants you to do is give up an old world that ain't going to do you no good no way. Amen. You're going to cry, baby. Get over it. It ain't going to hurt you to give up some things. You say, "Well, I didn't get to see 50 Shades of Filth." Thank God you didn't. Trying to drown yourself in sewage. Just don't get quiet in here tonight. I'll haul off and give you tonight's sermon on top of this. If I wasn't tired, I'd really preach hard to y'all this morning. This number three. Let me say this now. Hurry. I said, how do you save yourself? Number one, nail it down. You save. Number two, refuse to participate. Number three, by setting your affection on things above and not on things on this earth. We're not going to be here forever. We ain't staying down here. We're just a short time. I mean, this life is just for a moment, brother. We're as milk spilled on the ground. I mean, brother, we're as a shadow. I mean, Lord of God, brother, we ain't going to be here long. You ain't going to stay here. I ain't going to stay here. Set your affections on things above. For Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. I'm telling you this morning, keep your eyes on the prize. Amen. You adults, brother, make up your mind you're going to live right. You say, "What are you talking about?" I'm talking get your mind on heaven, not Hollywood. Amen. I mean, get your mind off Jay-Z and get it on Jesus. I mean, brother, quit looking at my Valley. And brother, start looking at Moses. I quit looking at Brittany and start looking at Bible. That's right. I'm telling you this morning, hallelujah, brother, look at heaven and not Hollywood. Listen, you don't need to be a Hollywood movie star. You ain't a Hollywood movie star. You don't want to be a Hollywood movie star. Tell them to jump in the lake and leave you alone and just set your mind on heaven. Go to Sunday school, read your Bible, and pray and serve God and do right and save yourselves from this untoward generation. Not only set your affections on heaven, not Hollywood, but on souls, not sin. Get in the bus ministry. Be in the bus ministry, not a barmaid. Amen. Get on the Lenore route instead of Hooters Lions Club. I like what a preacher said the other day. He said, I wish we could take some of you girls and buy you for what you're worth and sell you for what you think you're worth. That's awful, isn't it? But that's what some people are. That's bad. I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, it's the truth anyway! You think, Lord, I'm Miss America. No, you are not Miss America. And it wouldn't be no good if you was. Amen? You're going to get wrinkles. Real soon. Some of you's done peaked out a few years back. Downhill from your home, sister. You might as well live for the Lord. You ain't going to get on a magazine front. No, it's over. Win some souls. I'll tell you something if y'all won't tell her. Don't tell Carrie. I said, oh, they're watching, I think. They're in Michigan, and she, but she got a little wrinkle here now, you know. Now, she got more than I do. But no, I'm just kidding. She got a little wrinkle there, and is kidding her about it. And Dax told her, he said, Mama, can I take my motorcycle and see if I can jump that ditch? Oh, she didn't like it. And if you're watching, I still think you're beautiful, baby. Prettiest girl in town, on the lake side of town. Alright, listen, brother, you ain't gonna stay young. You ain't gonna stay young. Amen. Amen. Even brother daddy, because I didn't get preserved, I got pickled. You ain't gonna stay young. I hurt right there once in a while. Where I hurt my knee. I hurt up here where I hurt my shoulder playing ball. Listen, we're all going. Set your affection on things above. You ain't going to Hollywood. Thank God. Amen? Or don't strut around like you're Miss America or Mr. America. Good night in the morning, people. Listen, you're not nowhere near as important or special as you think you are. Souls, not sin. Make up your mind you're going to win some souls. Make up your mind you're going to, if you can't work in the bus ministry, help the bus ministry. Work with them kids, pat them on the back. Go out and invite somebody to church. Call somebody. Set your affection up yonder. Finally, set your affection on heaven, not Hollywood. Souls, not sin. And God, not gold. God, not gold. Bible said they continued in breaking of bread and doctrine of fellowship. You know what they did? When they heard Peter's sermon, they kept right on fellowshipping, right on breaking bread, going house to house, getting the job done. They didn't say, how can we get rich? How can we get rich? Don't get me wrong. You ought to work. You ought to try. If you get rich, praise God for it. That's fine. If God blesses you rich, praise God. But you better honor Him and give Him His tithe and your offering. Because if you don't, the same God will give it to you and take it away from you. Don't, ain't nothing wrong with making money. Some of y'all make good money. I'm happy for you. Praise God. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But you better honor Him and give Him His part. I'm telling you, He's blessed you. He can take it away just like that. I'm telling you, if you make $100 a week, give Him 10 and an offering. If you make $1,000 a week, give Him 100 and an offering. And God will bless you and honor you if you'll bless. You say, well, God, you only get to keep 900, you little stingy thing. Well, God, not gold. All that you're going to get to keep is what you give. The rest of it you're going to leave behind when you leave this world. I'll say this, I'm through this morning. There's a woman on a plane. Sit on an airplane. If you've never flown on an airplane, sometimes they're real smooth. I mean, sometimes you sit on a plane, it's almost like you're just sitting right here. You can't even hardly tell you're moving. And then other times, it's like, oh, oh. And then sometimes them things will drop 200 or 300 feet. And then you think, oh, Lord, we're crashing. It can really be scary. And he said one time in his plane, flying somewhere across the ocean and run into a lot of turbulence, just like this. And it drops and come and it drops and man, it'll make your heart come out your throat if you're not, you know, expecting it. And all of a sudden this woman said, I'm scared. She looked over at this little boy and said, "Son, ain't you scared?" He said, "No, not a bit." She said, "Why?" He said, "My daddy's a pilot." He said, "My daddy's flying this plane. He knows what he's doing. I'm not." Now let me ask you something. Which one of them two was the safest? They're both the same safe. I get English. They're both the same safe. One was just as safe as other. And one of them was worried to death. And they're just sitting there taking it easy. Now let me tell you something this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, we may be in for some rough days. They're saying, I went to Ralph Sexton's tent meeting the other night. Ralph was talking about all the stuff that's supposed to happen this month. This month. That last blood moon. We talked about that some other time. Hey, the other things that are taking place, the feast days. And then he got talking about the Pope is coming to America in the next few weeks. They're making our bank workers, Shaughnessy works at the bank. She said that last week they was training them on those new cars with the computer chip inside of them. All's going to happen this month. Up in Maryland, when you get up north, it ain't like it is down here. There's big billboards. Me and Kelly seen ever so often. And it's got a picture of Pope Francis. Francis? A boy? And he's on the front of that. Francis is on the front of this billboard, and it says, "Take the pledge," all over the state of Maryland. And the boys up there was telling me, they said, "Something's going on, preacher. Something's going on." And he's going to talk about, you know what the pledge is about? Saving the earth. Not throwing down a popsicle stick on Mother Earth to pollute it. I think it's a sin to throw down French fries inside of a $20,000 car. Listen. Some of y'all are a little slow, but you'll get that after a while sometime. He's going to come over here and give a speech about saving the earth. And very well could see things happen in the month of September that's setting the stage for Jesus to come back. He might even be coming. Man, all them feast days, all that stuff, that Feast of Tabernacles and Feast of Harvest and all that stuff means something. That Old Testament stuff is a type and picture of the rapture and the millennium and the tribulation period and all that stuff. We're there! Save yourself from this untoward generation. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, get saved today, today, today. Don't wait one more minute. The Lord could come before we leave here. Save yourself from this untoward generation. I heard about a young man the other day. He said, "They're having revival every night. She's coming to the piano." He said, "They're having revival every night." And they said, "Well, you going to come?" And he said, "Yeah." And he promised this girl he'd come to revival Friday night, the last night of the revival. She's playing softly this morning. And they said, "That boy," she said, "Now you promise me you'll be there?" And he said, "Yes, I promise." Friday night come. They started singing. And then she looked all over the church. And she couldn't find him. She couldn't see him. And he didn't come. As a matter of fact, they looked for him. And nobody didn't know what happened to him. And 8 days later. A week later and a day. They found his body. Down in the river. He'd went swimming the night before. Him and a bunch of boys, they was drinking, cutting up, you know how boys would do. And he got down in there and got tangled up and some brush and limbs and stuff in that water. How a tree will fall in the water sometimes. It's in there and you can't see it. And he got tangled up in it and drowned. Drowned. And he promised her, I'd come Friday night. Now, I don't know who you are here this morning, but I'm telling you, the Lord's in this place today. And the Lord's speaking to somebody in here right now. I wouldn't trade places with you for every bit of money in Burke County if I thought I could walk out that door and get killed in a car wreck and die and burn forever and ever in hellfire. Save yourself, buddy. If you got a brain in your head, run to Jesus Christ. Save yourself from this generation. If you're a Christian here this morning, maybe you need to make some breaks. Get rid of a boyfriend, girlfriend, some acquaintance. Quit hanging around. Save yourself. They'll drown you and them both. Let's stand this morning. Every head bowed. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that You'd help that man, woman, boy, girl, whoever it is that needs to come this morning to come. Oh God, speak to every heart. Save that one which is lost. Help that young man or that young lady to come to Jesus. We'll thank You and praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're singing this morning. Some's already on this altar. On the